Welcome to the Bridge DFW podcast. The Bridge is a community of young adults and a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. You can find out more at thebridgedfw.com.
So the title of the message tonight is the ultimate regift. Now, who in here has regifted something? Ever? Most of you. Okay, let me see hands for those of you that have never regifted anything. You've never done it. Wow, there's actually a couple of you. So for you guys that have never done that, typically regifting is done when it's something you don't really find valuable to you, right? Like if it's something valuable, you would have just kept it for yourself. Like why am I going to give it to somebody else if I like it? But tonight, what we're really going to be talking about is how God regifted forgiveness to us. Well, he really gave us forgiveness, and now we get to regift it to other people. So in that sense, it's a little bit different because it is something that's valuable. But we're able to give it. So I just want to kind of change the way that we think a little bit on regifting just in this sense. Feel free to regift things that you actually like too, because really that's what God did for us. Our foundation scripture is going to be Colossians 3:13. If you guys don't have a Bible or maybe are not really familiar with it, these Bibles are on the ends of the row. You can grab them. And when I'm quoting directly out of the NLT version, which is this one, the page number is actually going to be up on the screen for you. So if you're not familiar with where the books are in here, because, you know, you're like, where's Matthew? Is it before Proverbs or after Leviticus? Like, I don't, if you're not familiar with this thing, that's what it's up there for. It's for you. So Colossians 3:13, that's going to be where we are. It says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now that verse in and of itself is really the outflow and the point of the gospel was that God forgave us, right? Everybody in here probably is at least a little bit familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loved, so he gave. He gave what? His one and only son. Why? So that whoever believes in him will not perish, not die, but have everlasting life. So that's the gospel. And I want to go through a couple little points in the gospel just so that we're all on the same page, so we know where we are. Because if we don't understand the gospel, we're not going to understand forgiveness. If we don't understand the gospel, if we're not understanding what that is, then we're not even a Christian. So if you're not familiar with that, we're going to go through a couple quick points that are really important. The first being that Jesus was a son of David. He was a descendant of David. He was a promised ruler. If you look through the Old Testament, you'll see it. He was also a descendant of Abraham, meaning that he was somebody that was from the Jewish people. He was specifically the Jewish Messiah coming to the Jewish people. And Genesis 12, I believe it's verse 2, actually says that through God tells Abram, through you all the nations of the world will be blessed. Paul lets us know that in Galatians 3, he's talking about Jesus. Through Abraham, the blessing would be Jesus, which would be the blessing to all of the nations. So Jesus was, if anything, a Jew that was coming to save the world through the Jewish people that God had chosen because God chose. That's why. Not because of anything the Jewish people did or because they were special. Really, they weren't that special at all. But you have to know that to understand what's in the New Testament and what God has done for us. If you divorce the New Testament from the Old Testament and just read the New Testament, you're going to be so confused at a lot of the things that are said because Jesus quotes from the Old Testament, Paul quotes from the Old Testament, Peter, James, every writer in the New Testament quotes the Old Testament. So you have to know that. It's fundamental to anything. He was also born of a virgin. Mary was a virgin. If you weren't here last week, Pastor Donnie and I talked about Mary and Joseph. You can check that out on our podcast, or if you're watching online, or if you're checking this out later, just look right underneath me and go to the next box. You can click there and watch the whole thing. But it was a divine virgin birth because he did not inherit sin from his father. The law says, and the Old Testament says, that the sin is passed down from fathers to their sons, from 3 to 4 generations. But Jesus was miraculous and that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit through Mary. So he was started off sinless. But the thing was that he did not just start off sinless and then mess it up. He, unlike all of us, continued to live sinlessly throughout his entire life. And something that's the foundation of what where we're going to be going tonight in the brief time that I'm going to spend with you guys is that we offended God more than anyone will ever offend us. We hurt God with our sin and before we were saved more than anyone can ever hurt or offend us. So you have to understand that if we're forgiving out of a place of, well, God's forgiven me of more than whatever so-and-so did to me or whatever situation has happened. We're forgiving out of a place that's, well, God has forgiven me of more. That's the only way that we're able to do it. I'm jumping ahead. But he brought his kingdom to earth. He fed people. He healed people. He taught people. And he forgave people. And he explicitly said he was God more than once. But he also did so implicitly in the fact that he forgave people's sins before the cross. He forgave people's sins before then. And the Pharisees got so fed up, and the people of the law, the people, religious people at the time got so mad because they were like, you can't do that. Only God can forgive sins, because they understood that anytime we sin against another person, it's ultimately against God. And that's why they were so mad. And so they were saying, there's either two things, either you're a blasphemer or you are God. And they didn't want to accept that he was God. They didn't want to accept it. So the result of that was that they crucified him. They killed him in the most painful, despicable, just the worst way that you could imagine. Look up crucifixion. Watch the, what's the name of the movie? Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ. Watch that if you think that it was, you know, all good and not that bad. It was terrible. It was shameful. It was the most shameful way that someone could die. He did that. Again, you have to know he did that for us. He did that for us. And he was buried for 3 days. He was in the ground. And then he rose again. He came back from the dead, which gives us all the hope and everything that we have. Because if he's dead in the ground, Paul says that we are laughable, that we should be most pitiable among men. But he said he was coming back, and then he did it. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father. He intercedes for us, and he's waiting. He's waiting for the day that we're going to be able to see him just as he is, that he's going to come back with the clouds, with the glory, and all the saints, and he's going to marry heaven and earth together, and we're going to be with him for all of eternity. And that's really the crux of what the gospel is. And I'll let you know something a little bit about me. Sometimes I am like, why can that not be now? Why can that not be tomorrow? This sucks right now. But 2 Peter 3 says that God is not slack. I've memorized it in the King James Version. It's old. God is not slack or slow, as some men would count slowness. But he's patient. That's who God is. And he's patient, why? So that all men would come to repentance. That's why he's waiting. That's why he's not here right now. That's why he hasn't come. Because there's still people that he's extending his grace and his mercy out to that have not accepted it. You have to understand, everything that was needed for our acceptance back to God was done on the cross. So now all we do is submit our will. That's the only part that we have to play in it. It's the only part that we have to play in it. The Bible says, and I'm not remembering the verse right now, but he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what God did for us on the cross, was he took away all the sins, everything that had happened. And you have to understand, if we're coming at it from a Christocentric point of view, which for all of you that don't know what that means, just means a Christ-centered point of view, if we're coming at it from then all of our sins were future tense, right? If we're coming at it from I'm the center of my universe, then there are past sins, present sins, and future sins. And you'll accept forgiveness for your past sins, but you won't really know for your present sins, and you might be worried about your future sins. But if Christ is the center of what you believe, then all of them are forgiven, because none of you were alive 2,000 years ago. Like, that's basic logic, right? So that's what God did for us. And he did that in a place where we were the most weak. Romans 5:8 says, it's my favorite one, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now because of that, by his Holy Spirit, by the power that works within us, we're able to do all the things that Jesus did. We're able to live like Jesus actually did. We're able to heal the sick. We're able to, some of you are going, well, yeah, whatever. But we're able to raise the dead. We're able to do all the things that Jesus did because we're co-heirs with Christ, because we're brothers with Christ, not because of how good we are, but because of what God has given and done for us. And that means includes signs, wonders, miracles, all that. And that also means forgiving. Because the greatest gift, the ultimate re-gift that God gave us was that he forgave our sins. And so now we get to forgive other people just as God in Christ forgave us. And he holds us to a law of love. We're not held to the same law and the same standard that was used previously. Jesus says when he's asked, what's the greatest commandment? It's Mark 12, 29 through 31. The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one and only one Lord. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is more important than these. And in the question, they asked him, what's the most important? And he couldn't even say one. He knew what he was doing. But he couldn't divorce the fact that we are supposed to love God and love other people. Because in them, they're essentially one commandment. He later says, on these, the whole law hangs. These two things. But we have to understand, again, it's from him. It's not from us. So all these things that we're able to do as Christians are not because we're great. They're not. They're because God's great. That's the only reason we're able to do them. 1 John, and I'm going to read 12 scriptures for you because, you know, we're in a church building and we're going to have cookies and stuff later. So it's going to be on the screen. If you expected to come here and not hear the Bible, I'm not sorry, but let's just go ahead. Dear friends, John says, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son in the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us this much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. They live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. This is an amazing next verse. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him being God with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. And that means now we live here in this world like Jesus. Such love has no fear. Love like this doesn't have fear because perfect love, the love from God, expels and takes out all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. We're not understanding that all our sins are forgiven. That's why you would be afraid. But if you understand what it says, we have not then experienced his perfect love. Verse 19, we love each other because he first loved us. It's not how good we are. It's not how good you are. It's not how good I am. We don't get to do anything differently than anyone else in the world apart from God. Apart from God, we are just the same as every other person here. But with him, we're able to love. We're able to forgive. And love and forgiveness are intertwined just in the same way that forgiveness and healing are intertwined. That if we understand that God forgave us, we're able to only do that, again, from him, right? We're only able to do that from him. And what that does is that heals our own heart. We accept healing through what he's done for us. And then we actually get to bring healing to other people. And that's not only physically. Jesus says that. You can look in Mark, I think it's Mark 12, before the verse that I said earlier. But Jesus puts the two together, forgiveness and healing. He says, let your sins be forgiven. He says, he does that. And so healing not only physically, but also with our own relationships with other people, with people that have done us wrong. And what's amazing, I'm going to skip ahead to Matthew 5, 43. But living a life that Jesus would have us live empowered by the Holy Spirit is not just not having sex before we're married, is not just not smoking, is not just not getting drunk off our butts and falling out of our car. Not all these things that say, oh, that's a holy person. Look, he doesn't do all those sins. A life of holiness is also doing the things that apart from God are impossible. That's a life of holiness. And in that life is forgiveness. In that life is extending forgiveness not only to just our brother, not only just fellow Christians, for those of you that are, but also to people that are not Christians. We're able to do that. And again, understand, it's impossible. You can't do it. You can't forgive people that have hurt you apart from the power of God. Look what Jesus says. I'm just going to read one of these. He says it two different places. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You have heard the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pretty clear. Anybody look in there and see anything different? Or is that pretty clear that we love our enemies? Pray for those that persecute you. In that way, what will you be doing? You will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those that love you, what reward is there in that for you? Even corrupt tax collectors do the same. If you are only kind to your friends, how are you different than anyone else? How are you holy? Tell me, if you only forgive the people that are forgiving you and you're only nice to people who are nice to you, how are you different? Please tell me how you're different than anybody else in the world. You're not. You're exactly the same. The next verse, but you are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I'm just going to read the next one. I'm going to take a couple more minutes because you guys are here and the door's back there if you want to leave. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, bless those that curse you, pray for those that hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, he's not saying they won't be taken from you. He's saying they will. You will be taken advantage of. And how does he say respond to that? Don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those that love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those that love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. If you lend only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Very clear. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. Why? For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked, which was me and you before you were saved. You were unthankful and you were wicked in your heart. And he forgave us. You realize that? He forgave us at that point while we were sinners, while we hated him. He didn't forgive us when we got good enough to be forgiven. He forgave us then. That's when he forgave us. You must be compassionate. It's a command. You must. It's not a suggestion. Be compassionate just as how your Father is compassionate. Jesus was talking about loving people who would intentionally hurt you. Realize that. Realize how strong that is. That's not just the cashier who shorted you a dollar. That's not just the barista that didn't put four pumps instead of three or whatever the heck you do. That's a way you can practice forgiveness, and you should forgive them. You should. But the person Jesus is talking about here looks a lot more like a member of ISIS right. than your neighborhood Starbucks right. dude or whatever the heck. Right. That's what he's saying. And you realize, and some of you are sitting there going, but I know that says that, but we're not supposed to forgive them. We can't forgive people that are cutting our heads off. Can we? Can we? Jesus did. And he said, do it. And look, I'm telling you, you will not be able to live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. And he's saying that this is impossible because he's letting you know, aside from God, you can't. You absolutely can't. Look at Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. Remember that he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Thank you, not me, you, thank you. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Just the way that I memorized it was God in Christ forgave you. So God in Christ forgave us, now we forgive others from that same place. Luke 7, 47 through 48. There's a woman that comes to Jesus and she's sitting there at his feet and she's pouring out this expensive perfume and these religious, judgmental people are looking at her and are looking at Jesus and they're thinking in their mind, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't even let him touch him. They're judging not only Jesus, but they're judging the woman. Because they're like, come on, everybody knows this is a prostitute. A prostitute, not just a, how do I say this nicely? Not just a woman that gives herself away. This is a prostitute. It's a lot different. It's a different level. And they're judging Jesus for it because no religious person at the time would let somebody like that touch them. And here's how he answers them. I tell you, he tells them a parable, and I'm not going to go into it. You can read it for yourself. It's Luke 7. I tell you her sins, and they are many, just like all of your sins were many, just like all of my sins were many. Many, 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 a lot. A lot before I was saved by God, a lot before you were saved by God. They have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Verse 48, then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Like, I just read that and I'm like, yeah, I'm a lot more like the woman that was there, that was on the ground, that people are judging in their minds. They're not even saying it out loud. They don't even have the guts to actually say it. They're just thinking it in their mind because that's how these people are. They won't say it. They'll just think it. And they'll just tell their friends. God, did you believe what so-and-so did? They got taken advantage of. That person hurt them. Or, hey, check out who hurt me. Look at all what's been done wrong to me. Come in this pity party with me. I've been hurt so bad. Again, you offended God way more than anyone can offend you. Way, way more. We live in a place where we have been given undeserved grace. It's not just mercy. It's the grace of God. We didn't deserve it. There was nothing we could do to earn it. And he gave it to us anyway. He gave it to us anyway. It's nonsensical because it's nonsensical. You can't get it up here. It's here. And it's not something that you do. You don't go, oh, well, look, I've raised myself to a level of being accepted by God. God takes your heart, changes it, transforms it into something that's completely different. And then it becomes your choice if you want to live like that or if you don't want to live like that. If you want to live from the place that God has given you or if you want to hoard it to yourself and just continue to live like every single other person on this planet. It's up to you. What I say to you is that if you're truly transformed, you're truly changed, you will give. Because he who has been forgiven much, forgives much. He who has been forgiven much, gives much. So you guys were able to partner with us this year. We did this awesome Christmas outreach that we've been talking about for a couple of months. You guys came, for those of you that didn't know, there were some mugs that you could buy that all the proceeds, we didn't profit off of them. They went directly to outreach. They went directly to us being able to help other people out. And so I know we couldn't actually get a time that all, 80 of us could get together and go with the camera. So what we're going to do is we're going to play this video up here and you're going to get to see what we were able to do. Not because how good we are. We didn't give because we're good, but we gave because God's good. We gave because he's good. So check this out. It's going to be up on the screen.
Hey Bridge, we are here. We're about to go inside to bless one of our nominees, Cecilia, who works here. And she was nominated by Ariel, that all of you guys know. So Ariel bought one of our Bridge Christmas Outreach mugs and nominated Cecilia. So let's go inside and bless her. And no, all these pallets aren't for a bonfire.
David and I are here at the TCC bookstore. David actually got one of our mugs. He was part of the outreach that we did. He was helping support that, and so he nominated somebody from the school. So, hey, David, tell us who you nominated.
Well, I nominated Renee. She comes to the Bridge the Gap Club that we have here on campus. And actually, she was going through some really hard times with her family and with work and having to continually do stuff. I was talking to her a couple weeks ago, and she's talking about how she really wants to finish college and get her major done quickly so that she can start getting into, like, having a job and like doing a life. And one thing that I just knew would really help her is really supporting her through college. And so that's what we're here to do, and yeah.
Well, what's really cool about that, David, is because of what you did and being able to support the Bridge Christmas outreach that we had and what you guys were able to do too, we're actually gonna be able to give Renee $100 to go toward her books and toward anything else that's really gonna help her finish college out strong. So we wanted to be able to do that. David, thank you for nominating.
Absolutely.
I'm here with Spencer Lewis, one of our Bridge Young Adults, and Spencer nominated somebody. He got involved this year with our Bridge Christmas Outreach and nominated somebody. So Spencer, tell us, who did you nominate?
I nominated my brother. My brother has been out of a job, and he's a single dad with a two-year-old. And so I thought, you know, we could show him a little love and nominate him, I guess. Yeah.
And so we are hooking up your brother and Macy this Christmas with some Toys R Us gift cards, but we didn't want to stop there. So what we did was, Tyler's been out of a job for a while, and so we wanted to be able to give him a nice sport coat, a blazer, so that whenever he goes into these job interviews, he's dressed to impress, so that they see exactly what he stands for, and he has the best shot at getting this job. So because of what you guys did with your nominations and buying the mugs this Christmas, we were able to bless some people that are extensions of our Bridge Young Adults. So thank you guys for sewing. Thanks for being a part.
So that's your pastor, ladies and gentlemen, right there. Call him Vince Carter when he gets back. If you don't know who that is, sorry. But guys, we were able to do that, and we didn't really get to talk about it, but the lady at the very beginning was a mother that has 5 children. She works 2 jobs. She works basically from the time the sun goes up to the sun goes down. Because this will be very real to some of you. The dad doesn't do much. Doesn't do much to support. He's there, but just kind of physically there. Doesn't work. That's a woman that gives everything. That's a woman that's given a lot. Given a ton. And she doesn't do that because she's great or because she's better than you or me. She does that because she knows what God has done for her. She was crying. She was just like, gracias a Dios. She was like all this kind of stuff in Spanish. It was great. My Spanish accent's terrible. But we were able to do that, and you guys did that through your giving. Again, not because we're good, but because God is good. Because God forgave us. So this is the last service that we're actually going to be together as the Bridge before the new year, and that gives you a great opportunity. Next time we meet, it'll be 2016. And whether you're here or somewhere else, that year's coming. So what you can do, it's dependent on you tonight. You can forgive the people in your life, hear me, that don't deserve your forgiveness. Am I making that clear enough? That's who I'm asking you to forgive tonight. And it's on you. Because God forgave you when you didn't deserve it. Some of that's going to be your parent, it's going to be your dad, it's going to be your mom, a brother, a sister. Some of you, that's the person that did something to you that it's going to be that person. We're not just talking about the Starbucks guy. Some of you, that's going to be the person that broke your heart. That's who you're going to forgive tonight. If you want to, if you want to walk into the next year, and if you're a Christian, this is a command, guys. If you're not a Christian, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. We laid it out for you. Our altar prayer ministers are going to be up here on the side in just a minute. If you want prayer for what we talked about tonight, or you want prayer for something else, they're going to be here. And so I'm asking, I'm imploring you, if you're not a Christian, pray this prayer with me, and let's all pray together so that it doesn't make it obvious for the person that's standing out, so that they can make the decision of when they want to stand up and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Let's pray this tonight. Father, thank you for sending your son. Thank you for giving us a perfect sacrifice in him. Thank you for forgiving us when we didn't deserve it. We accept that tonight. We accept we were not enough. But we accept that you were more than enough. That you've done everything possible, everything that's needed for us to be in right relationship with you and other people. We believe that tonight. We say that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, we're going to give you a moment. The band is going to play another song. We're going to be on the side. If you want prayer, if you want anything, come talk to one of us. If you just want to come up here and worship, that's what this time is for. It's for you to forgive. It's for you to actually do something with tonight. And we forgive because he forgave us.